Welcome to Help and Hope, a podcast of CCEF.
Thanks for joining us again this week on Help and Hope. My name is Andrew Ray, and I'm joined by
Cecilia Bernhardt
and David Pollison.
Thanks for coming in.
It's a pleasure to be here, Drew.
Nice to be here.
Great. Well, I'm glad you're here. This week, we're going to discuss the confession of past sins, and the question goes like this. How detailed should a person be in confessing past sins? For instance, with the person you're planning on dating or marrying, how specific should you be? Or for past sins that don't persist and don't appear to have any residual consequences?
Yeah, I think this is a great question, Andrew, because I think we talk a lot here at CCF about speaking the truth in love, and you know, we feel that call and hopefully do it in everything we do, from counseling to teaching. But sometimes I think when people hear that, they can be confused about what that might mean. And I think what we want to do is remind everyone and ourselves that all of our ministry is guided by the principle of love. And so the question is, what is most loving? Sometimes people approach this issue as if being truthful means a complete dump of everything that I've ever done in every circumstance. Mm-hmm. And we would want to kind of look at that and say, wait a minute. It's good to be willing to be truthful. It's good to have that humility. But the underlying question is, what is glorifying to God and what is loving to this other person?
Yes.
So in each of these particular situations, we would want to step back and ask that general question.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. And one of the ways I actually think about this is, I use this metaphor of when you're in the frozen food aisle, there's the like name brands, and the packaging is, I mean, it's just, you could practically eat the package. It's so vivid, detailed, you know, the full color spectrum, savory looking. And then you got the generic no-name brand that's white plastic with black letters. And I think how there's a sense where in answering this, that an appropriate generic labeling rather than gory details. You don't want Technicolor, because Technicolor could be like a pornographic movie or a violent, you know, blood spattering gore movie, and a drug besotted. You know, you don't want to create temptation and stumbling block by the gory details, but you have to be true, you might say, to the framework of its significant facts. And the Bible is phenomenal on this. The Bible deals with every human sin. I mean, there's all kinds of violent things that happen. There's just about every sexual perversion imaginable. The example I like to go to is the story of David and Bathsheba, where we know what happened, and we know as much about what happened as we need to know with David and Bathsheba, but we know no gory details. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's all kinds of ways that the human imagination could project into that situation gory details that become semi-pornographic. The Bible never goes there. Mm-hmm. And so in confessing of sins to others, we want to not, you might say, reindulge the sin in memory or cause a stumbling block to the other person. Mm-hmm. But we also want to be clear that people are not going to have, even if something had happened years ago, something happened years ago does not persist, no apparent consequences. But if it's something that could be come out 10 years from now, and then someone you're married to, and they would feel like trust was betrayed, to be able to get that out on the table, and mm-hmm. again in a generic way, in a way that communicates humility, proper shame over what had happened, great gratitude for God's mercy. Those are all. Those would be some of the qualities. And Seals used the guide of what's loving. A passage I've also used is the Ephesians 4:29 in terms of what is really constructive here? Mm. What's edifying? Mm. What gives grace to those who hear. I would want even the confession of something that could be very hard for my friend or potential spouse to hear, but that the way it's coming across is actually, it's communicating the grace of Christ by the very way that I talk about it, you know. And even the fact that I don't wallow in the gory details, but it's talked about in a way that is appropriately repentant and deeply grateful for God's mercy. That gives grace to the one who hears. And and it lets a person, especially in something like considering marriage and such, to it lets a person make an informed choice in that regard.
Yeah, and we deal with this a lot, Andrew, in doing marriage counseling. When there's been significant sin by one or both spouses, we kind of walk this path with them, helping them to figure out what needs to be confessed and how to move forward. And there's several things you want to consider there. As David said, you know, what is the current impact of the sin? If it was a long time ago and has no current impact, there will be some reference to it, but as David said, not go into details. If there's something going on currently that's repeating, there might need to be a little bit more sharing of what is the temptation that the spouse actually faces, and how what we want to do is we want to encourage a sharing of information, but also the ability for the spouses to come alongside each other and share the burden. They need to
helpfully.
Do that helpfully, right? But at the same time, we don't want to overload them, because if they're both in it together, then a burden can be too heavy. So I can speak from my own. Some of the cases that I've handled where there's been one spouse that, say, has had a sexual relationship outside of the marriage, and as a counselor, I feel there's a need for accountability. That's where we turn to the body of Christ and say, okay, who can come alongside this couple, a brother from church or a pastor who can work with the husband, or a sister who can work with the wife, so that the other spouse knows what's going on, but there's an accountability coming from a different place that can help the couple to bear that burden in a wise and helpful way.
And these are judgment calls. So in one couple, perhaps they can be each other's accountability. With another couple, there may need to be a more generic sense of the labeling of what happened, and then more detail and honest confession is with an accountability person. So there's no... It's one of those things where you're making these hopefully informed, judicious decisions. You know, one other side of this that we haven't talked about, we've talked about it more from the standpoint of the one who's, to what degree should I be candid in my confession? But from the other side, there can sometimes be the issue of someone who's morbidly curious.
Yes.
And is going to just torment himself or herself in their curiosity and pestering for details, and every detail they find creates more almost addictive sickness of wanting more details. You know, and that's one that, again, for the sake of love, and a marriage that's struggling with that, you know, they need help. They may not. Those things are so loaded emotionally and so confusing in the moment interpersonally. You know, just getting wise help in there to sort through what needs to be known. You know, if there's current betrayal going on, that really needs to be known. But if it's a morbid curiosity to dig up things from ancient history, that the morbidly curious person needs to be helped know how to entrust those matters to the cross. Also, they are not burdens that he or she needs to be bearing or greedily seeking in the present.
That's right. And David's bringing up a good point. What we're looking for both spouses, and again sticking with the example from marriage, is a willingness to is a willingness to sacrifice, really, to love one another. for the person who has committed a sin and, you know, is afraid to bring it forth, you know, a willingness to speak that and to face it, knowing that in order to show repentance, that that will bring a deeper blessing to the marriage, mm-hmm. for a spouse who's been sinned against, a willingness to hear about it to a wise point, or a willingness to not ask for more information in order to love their spouse. Mm-hmm. And as David said, those are all judgment calls, and we need great wisdom. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. prayer, once again, is a very important part of the process, mm-hmm. for the counselor, mm-hmm. and the people who are struggling.
Good. Thanks for coming in.
You're welcome, Drew.
Thanks, Drew.
Thank you for joining us. For more information about CCEF and its resources, visit us on the web at ccef.org.